listening to the Daily Gold Podcast, covering precious metals, the junior mining sector, and global capital markets for intelligent investors. Now, here is your host, Jordan Roy Byrne.
Well, hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Daily Gold Podcast. Today, I'm chatting with one of my favorite people in the industry. He's Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. Mickey, it's great to have you back. How are you doing today?
Well, it's always great to be here, and I'm doing very well because the markets are setting records day after day after day.
Yeah, and why don't you go into some detail on that? Because I know that before we got on here, you were researching how the markets have, various markets have performed post-election, and possibly how that compares to past elections. I mean, give us an idea of the gains that we've seen since Trump was elected in November.
Well, I've never seen anything quite like this. People have called it the Trump bump. I'm now calling it the Trump jump, except for precious metals. So precious metals, gold, silver, and platinum have been basically flat since the Trump election. Now let's look at the industrial metals since 11-8-16. Copper up 19%, zinc up 16%. Palladium, which is mainly industrial metal because it's used in catalytic converters, up 16%. Energy, oil up 24%. Uranium up 31%. And then we all know what's going on in the U.S. markets. Dow plus 15, S&P plus 12, NASDAQ plus 14, Russell 2000 plus 18. That's across the board gains. And all those indices set all-time records once again today. The laggards here have been the Toronto markets, the TSX plus 6%, the Toronto Venture plus 8%, but as you know, the gold miners took a big hit last week, and the gold juniors have pulled back too. So I think a lot of this, the underperformance, if you will, since Trump was elected in Toronto markets would have to do with the idea that gold has been flat. And then finally, let's look at the U.S. dollar. It's up 4%. Since Trump was elected, and that probably explains a little bit why gold is essentially, although it's made a good recovery in the last couple of months, it's been flat since the election.
Right, it's rallied back up to the Trump resistance, is what I've been calling it for the last month or so.
Yeah, so it's just amazing to me, and this is all, in my opinion, the guys now. Rollback of regulations in the U.S. and pro-business and infrastructure build-out. So there's good reason, but it's a cult of personality thing for a great part. You know, he's a New York guy. He's an entrepreneur. He's a capitalist. He's has a specific goal to make government run like a business, and we'll see what happens.
And with that said, Mickey, here's a question for you. Going forward, maybe time frame rest of the year, which of those metals, I should say, since we focus on commodities and hard assets, which of those metals do you think is most likely to continue rising, and which metal do you think could kind of buck the trend, could perhaps sell off or be weaker as we go throughout the rest of the year?
Well, about a month ago at the Vancouver Resource Conference, I was asked my two favorite commodities for the year. So bear in mind, I was starting at essentially the values in the beginning of 2016. I said copper and I said uranium. I'm still very bullish on copper. You know, we're facing a deficit in copper. We have supply disruptions, and we've got, after big rises in copper production, especially in Peru over the last couple of years, we got no new projects coming on the horizon. So I remain very bullish on copper, probably less so in uranium because the supply-demand fundamentals are not quite there yet. It went to $27 last week. It fell back to $22 by Monday and recovered a couple of bucks yesterday. But I'm probably a bit more on the fence on uranium going forward. But bear in mind, it's had a 31% increase this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to get into uranium. Quick question for you on that. Is there any reason for the big decline in the price of uranium itself in the last week?
Japanese traders and utilities came in and dumped some uranium on the spot market, basically because of the continued delays in Japanese restarts. So that was the reason it took a $5 dive over the last week. But bear in mind, it recovered $2 of that yesterday. So I think what we want to see, or I would like to see in the uranium market, would be some stabilization around this consolidation, if you will, around this 25 plus or minus spot price, because it went up too far too fast, in my opinion.
Okay, another market I want to ask you about, and forgive me because we haven't talked about this. I don't know if you follow it, but I've started to look at the ag commodities, the Goldman Sachs Agricultural Index. That's a GKX on stock charts. It's been basing for almost 2 years, and now it's gotten above the long-term moving averages. So to me, that's really interesting. And I've come across some phosphate companies that are basically trading for cash. But I have to be honest, I don't really know a lot about these companies or about phosphate. I mean, is this an area you're following? Do you have any interest in it? I mean, what can you tell us about the agriculture commodities?
Well, the soft commodities, and that goes all the way from corn and wheat to orange juice and coffee and cocoa and bacon. They call it sow bellies or hog bellies on the Chicago Board of Trade. I don't really follow those markets, but I can tell you that the ag sector is probably looking up. And if I was going to select an agricultural mineral, and there's not too many of them, sulfur, potash, phosphates, that's probably about it in terms of major markets. I would think that phosphates would be the place you want to be.
Hey, can I follow up with you and ask why would that be, or why do you think that?
Has to do with historic supply-demand fundamentals, and the phosphate market is basically used, phosphates are used as fertilizer for starting plants. So with continued growth of world population and demand for better production in agricultural production, particularly in third world countries, I would think that phosphates would be the place to be. Historically, potash, we just look at the last 10 years, and it goes up to record levels, and it falls back. So there's really no upside in the phosphate or potash industry. I would think there probably is in the phosphate industry. And we've got new deposits coming on or being found in different parts of the world. So that said, obviously, I'm no expert on phosphates, and I own no phosphate companies.
Well, I've taken
a look at them in the past, but that was, you know, then we had the demise of all commodities. So if I was going to look at those, I'd be kind of watching what hedge funds were doing.
Well, I was going to say that sounded like a pretty good answer to me. You've covered quite a lot already, Mickey, but let's circle back to precious metals, because as you noted, precious metals, I mean, recently they've had a good rally, but they're kind of weakening here with respect to the miners. Metals have been holding up pretty well so far. But again, as you noted, they've really been the weaker performers since the election. The precious metals, the first half of last year, they were really leading the commodity sector, and they've been lagging recently. What do you think happens over the next couple months? Do you think we're going to see precious metals continue this rally, or perhaps they start to sell off a little bit or consolidate here or even underperform the other commodities? What do you think?
Well, I'm pretty bullish on the precious metals, and let's just talk about gold because the others are silver and platinum. I look at palladium more as an industrial metal. Silver is an industrial metal, but it often tracks gold, although it's more volatile. But if you look at the chart of gold since, and I know you're much more a technical analyst than I am. So if you look at gold and its double bottom in the first couple of 3 weeks in December, I'm very encouraged with the stepwise rise in gold. So, you know, it'll go up, it'll fall back a little, it'll go up a little, it'll take a break, it'll flatten out. But we see this chart for however long that is. I guess it's basically 2.5 months now, where gold is going up in stepwise fashion. And to me, that seems like a strong bullish market. Making higher highs and higher lows as it continues up. So from that point of view, I'm bullish on gold. You know, gold's got so many things going on with it, mainly a safe haven buying. But the chart kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah, I would agree with you on all of that. Mickey, let's talk about what you've been investing in. I know that last time we spoke was at the Precious Metals Beaver Creek Summit there at the end of last summer, and you were talking about it where you were a little more cautious. You had taken some profits on a lot of things. Can you share with the audience what you have been doing for the last month or two, and what you're looking to do going forward? I guess as far as things you've been buying and private placements you're interested in.
Yeah, when we talked to Beaver Creek, that was the absolute high of the gold rally, not necessarily in terms of the gold price, but it was above 1,300. But gold stocks were really at that point their peak, if you will, in terms of interest. That fell off right after Beaver Creek. And then gold pulled back significantly. So what I've been going into is startup companies, new companies taking private placements and new deals. So I've been involved in a gold deal that has an option to purchase a significant asset in Nevada. I've been involved in a zinc deal, a startup zinc deal in Ireland. I've been involved in a startup uranium deal that is soon or will go public in the near term. Then I've been picking off some undervalued companies, and generally they have been in gold space. Although I have picked off a couple of things on dips in copper too. So for the most part, I'm interested in the incipient bull markets and commodities and getting into new things, perhaps new grassroots gold discoveries or commodities that I think will do well. And certainly I think the industrial metals are going to do well with this Trump infrastructure build out.
Now, Mickey, let's just for this question, let's just exclude private placement. So when you're looking to buy something in the market, do you focus more on the commodity or the company? How do you go about at picking your investments on things that are already trading in the market?
Well, I have some preconceived ideas about commodities I want to be involved in. And right now I would say that would be gold, copper, zinc, uranium, perhaps specific oil companies. So it really starts with the commodity and the project, but in all, it has to be the company, the people behind the company, the share structure, tight share structure. So it's a bit of all of the above. But for me as a geologist, my quickest filter is the commodity and the project and the jurisdiction it operates in. So that is the way I eliminate about 85% of the companies on Toronto Venture Exchange right off the bat. They don't even make my first cut.
Okay, and let me ask you something else. You don't have to give out a stock pick here, but before we close, can you mention something that will help our audience make some money in the next couple months? It doesn't have to be a stock pick. I mean, it can be a company or two that you're following, or maybe just a tip on something to do with trading or buying low or whatnot. Anything you want to share with our audience that can help them make money in the next quarter or so?
Well, I think if you're going to buy stocks on the open market right now, you probably want, as I generally do, put in stink bids, look for undervalued companies, put in stink bids, and if they get filled, then they met your criteria. If they don't get filled, then they did not, and you move on to something else. The stock that I am intimately involved with right now is they sponsor my website, so I cover them. I've been a very long-term committed shareholder, and that's Mawson Resources, currently trading about 44 cents, got three drill rigs in northern Finland, published initial drill results last week that were very good gold grades over very nice widths. I expect that company to have further good drill results in the near to midterm. The people are people I've been involved with for quite some time. They're top notch. And so I would look at that stock. I think it's trading today at 44 cents. It hit 57 cents, 52-week high when drill results came out, and immediately fell back off. Not a lot of liquidity in the stock at this point, but listeners might take a look at that. Now, bear in mind, you're dependent on drill results, and the old truth tool is always a bit of a risk. But I think that Mawson's got some really good upside, and this is a grassroots gold discovery in northern Finland that's now developed into a drilling phase with lots and lots of targets over a significant amount of ground, and that might be one to take a look at.
Thank you so much for that, Mickey. Before we close, Mickey, anything else you want to mention here? I will give you another chance to give out your Twitter and all of that, but anything else you want to mention on commodities or anything that we didn't already cover?
I don't know. I didn't vote for Trump, but I'm damn happy he got elected. And I guess I'm somewhat amazed at the way he's moved these markets. And I don't know what else moved him, but he's been very good for our business in the natural resource sector and playing speculative stocks. And I think this infrastructure build-out that he's promulgating is going to be very good for America. I guess he has so far made America great again. We'll see if he's got any staying power.
All right, Mickey, before I let you go, please tell our listeners how they can follow your work and your website and your Twitter and all that.
You can sign up as a free email subscriber, get my stock picks as they come out at mercenarygeologist.com. Twitter following is at mercenarygeo. That's nearly 60,000. I didn't say that right. That's nearly 61,000 followers at this stage. And all my interviews, including this one, will go into the rotation on 24/7 streaming audio, mercenarygeologist.com.
Listeners, Mickey is a veteran of the industry, and he always tells you like it is. He never pulls any punches. He's been in bull and bear markets. It's free, but it's quality information. Follow Mickey on Twitter. Follow his website. He gives out a lot of free content. Mickey, thanks so much for coming on, and I hope we can do this again the next couple months.
I look forward to doing that, and thanks once again for the opportunity, Jordan. Always my pleasure.
Thank you for tuning into the Daily Gold Podcast. For more interviews, editorials, and analysis, log on to thedailygold.com. And for premium coverage of precious metals and the best junior mining companies, visit thedailygold.com/premium.